This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Many of you on WPFW remember Damu Smith, the host of Spirit in Action for years here on WPFW, and Damu Smith has outrun us to glory. We're joined now by a good friend of his. That's not only why he's here, but I want to acknowledge that because as a much younger man, I came up working with these two brothers, both Damu Smith and our guest. Our guest is the grandson of John Chavis, who was the first African-American graduate from Princeton University, the first Black Presbyterian minister ordained in the United States, teaching people how to read, which was a crime, teaching Black folk how to read, and a crime in white folks' eyes for which he was ultimately and tragically lynched. His grandson here with us is one of the individuals who was charged in the Wilmington 10, spent almost 10 years in jail before he and the other members of the Wilmington 10 were released because of prosecutorial misconduct. He was a teenage organizer in North Carolina for Dr. King's Southern Christian Leadership Conference. In fact, it was in Charlotte where Dr. King was to have met our guest after leaving Memphis. And as we all know, Dr. King tragically did not get out of Memphis. Our guest also was the head of the Commission for Racial Justice for the United Church of Christ. He coined the phrase, the terms, environmental racism and environmental justice. He was the executive director / president of the NAACP, and 30 years ago was the principal organizer of the Million Man March. He is now the president of the National Newspaper Publishers Association. The Black press, Black newspapers are coming up in 2027 on their bicentennial. So he's a big part of that as well. He's also the host of the Chavis Chronicles on your local PBS station. Please welcome the Reverend Dr. Benjamin Franklin Chavis, Jr. Dr. Chavis, welcome to Make It Plain on
Thank you so much, Mark. And always glad to be in your presence. And of course, the WPFW listening audience is one that's familiar to me. But thank you so much for the opportunity.
It is an honor to have you, Dr. Chavis. You were quite busy last week. You were a part of both the NAACP convention and the National Urban League conventions. In general, how are our civil rights organizations doing? And in that vein, particularly the NAACP, you led the NAACP. What's changed? What's different? What's better? What are the challenges now, 30 years later?
Well, 30 years later, the challenges of voting rights, the challenge of civil rights, the challenge of housing rights, the challenge of health care. I mean, there's a struggle, a phrase out of our struggle that alludes to continuity, the struggle continues.
Yep.
So for the last 30 years, we've been making advances, suffered some defeats, making more advances, suffered some defeats politically, particularly in the White House. And of course, I would say that today in 2025, Mark, the NAACP is needed today more than ever before. I would say the same thing about the National Urban League. We need all of our civil rights organizations to challenge the backwardness, to challenge the retrenchment, to challenge the attempt to erase our history, our culture, and our progress. So we need an all hands on deck. I was very pleased to see at the NAACP a larger number of young people than heretofore. That gives new vitality, new life to the NAACP. And at the Urban League, NAACP was in Charlotte, North Carolina. They had a great convention. And the National Urban League Convention was in Cleveland. It was a great turnout. Derrick Johnson was the president and CEO of the NAACP, was really on point in his speech to the NAACP about what we have to do. in these times of urgency, fierce urgency of now. He quoted Dr. King's statement about a fierce urgency of now. And then, of course, Mark Moyer at the National Urban League really focused, which we have to focus on, the economic question. And a lot of the economic dislocation that's happened because of Trump's dismantling of the Department of Education, withdrawal of the EPA, canceling out Medicaid for millions of people, many of whom are African-American, but also white Americans are going to suffer from the canceling of Medicaid for millions of people. So these are times, Mark, where we not only need to have these big conventions, but after the conventions is what we do when we get back home.
Mm.
I mean, all politics is local, and to some extent, all economics is local. We got work to do. We got to keep our sleeves rolled up. Everybody's getting ready for 2026, and I think that's right. You know, this is 2025, but we can't wait to 2026.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to be registering people to vote now. We ought to be challenging some of the gerrymandering that's going on. And certainly we need to be doing a Mielke's brief for some of these court cases to prevent the cutbacks in Medicaid, to prevent the cutbacks in programs that are vital, like SNAP and others, to our children and to our future.
Folks, your questions and calls for Dr. Benjamin Chavis is 202-588-0893. Please give us a call, 202-588-0893. Dr. Chavis, you mentioned young people being at the conventions this year, but that was sort of your calling, was it not, when you were head of the NAACP? Overnight, you brought young people in. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, your first action was to go out and be a part and stand with the young people during the rebellion in L.A.
South Central Los Angeles.
Yeah, after the Rodney King verdict.
Yeah, well, I knew back in 1993 and 1994 that the future of the NAACP, the future of the freedom movement in America, is always ultimately in the hands of what we give to our young people and how they take the baton, how they push forward. And cross new, sometimes even higher hurdles that we had to face back then, 30 years ago, 28 years ago, 32 years ago. So to me, Mark, it is good news to see so many young people coming forward. And I think one of the myths that's out there is that our young people today don't care about what's going on. That is not true. I think they care. Our young people, they're exposed to more information than ever before. The challenge is to make sure that the information is accurate, the information is correct, and the information is authentic. And that's why I'm very pleased now to be working with BlackPressUSA.com, the National Newspaper Publishers, Black-owned media. It's so important that we control the narratives and the messaging to our community.
What does, or how important is that relationship between civil rights, human rights, our struggle, and the Black press, Dr. Chavis?
Oh, it's fundamentally necessary. In 2027, we'll mark the 200th anniversary of the Black Press of America. Press newspapers, Freedom's Journal, 1826. This is before the Civil War, published in New York. And the thing is, what we've learned over the centuries, Mark, is that the extent to which the Black church, the Black press, our civil rights organizations, our freedom fighting organizations, our HBCUs, we all have to find ways to work together. You know, one of the hallmarks of my tenure at the NAACP was having that meeting.
Yes.
The National African American Leadership Summit.
That's right.
First time ever you had all of the heads of all of the African American organizations, social organizations, fraternal organizations, civil rights organizations, and we had them all around one table. You were there. And it was a historic event. And I believe that years later, we may need to reconvene such an effort to get all of our leaders together.
Is that something that you're considering or something that's being talked about, Dr.
Yes, absolutely. It's something I'm considering and something I've had dialogue with some of the other leaders of the urgency to confer and to plan together.
Yeah, yeah. Is there something about this moment we're in with Trump and the fascism and all the pushback against all of our rights? Is it, would you compare today to any other moment in history in your lifetime in the movement? Is it similar to any other moment, or is this its own extraordinary moment we're in now?
I think the answer is both. It is similar, but it's also extraordinary. Keep in mind when Nixon decided to suppress the Black freedom movement, it had a devastating impact on a lot of our communities. And then they had mass incarceration, devastating impact in our communities. And so I would say, Mark, that today, I think we're facing fascism heretofore not being faced. We've already had political polarization in America. That's part of, whether you're to the right, to the left, or in the middle. But what is being contemplated right now is a total disbandment of the Constitution, a total disbandment of Brown versus the Board of Education, a total dismantlement of our rights in our communities. You know, you got Black people being snatched off the street by ICE with no warrant, no motive, just because of the way they look, because they wear their hair, or whether or not they got a tattoo or not. Mm. So I think that I would say this, Mark, these are unprecedented times that we are facing because of the emergence of fascism in America.
Yeah, yeah. These are most certainly unprecedented times. Folks, the number to call, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893, as we talk with Reverend Dr. Benjamin F. Chavis, Jr. We invite you also to visit blackpressusa.com to get all of your news and information from the Black Press website. How many, a lot of people don't know this, how many Black newspapers have we in operation today, Dr. Chavis?
In operation today, we have 255 Black-owned newspapers and Black-owned digital companies.
That says a lot, because in this current climate, people are working under the assumption that everything's on social media.
No.
Still a large segment of the Black community that relies on the Black press, including the Black print newspapers.
Absolutely, particularly in our churches. You know, the Black church is the distribution point for Black-owned newspapers.
Yes,
you
know,
people go to church and get a stack. You get the gospel, but you also get the Black news.
Yeah.
So I think that the value, and I'm just reading reports this morning, Mark, that a lot of African Americans that work in mainstream media, they're losing their jobs.
Yes.
The Washington Post is firing people. The New York Times is firing people. And I think one of the challenges that NABJ is going to have at its convention in Cleveland is what to do about the withdrawal of anything that is race-specific in terms of the columns, in terms of the beats, the news beats, the investigative journalism. I think, but again, this is another aspect of fascism. You always go after the media first.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you go after your enemies. Now they're talking about arresting people in the Obama administration, including Obama himself.
Yeah, yeah. They're arresting judges, too, who won't enforce Trump's immigration policies. But on the media, I mean, we know it's a lot of African Americans are losing their jobs. But we know it's not just them. I mean, the landscape, the industry is contracting. It did not adapt well to digital and social media. I mean, when you have the New York Times and everybody else at the beginning of the internet saying, okay, we're giving away this product free, it's hard to then get people to start paying for it after they've had it free for 10 years. One, right. Two, the fascists are dictating who's on the air. Joy Reid is off MSNBC because of Trump. Stephen, and it's not just black folks, Stephen Colbert. The show, the late show on CBS canceled because of Donald Trump. And so the media industry is caving to a lot of that in exchange for favor, we understand, with the Federal Communications Commission for mergers and acquisitions. You got to have them sign off on it. So you're going to give the government in power what they want so that Paramount and CBS can merge. I can't think of the name of the other company. It's hard to keep up with all of them. But that also is a manifestation. You know, we saw what happened to Joy Reid, but a lot of people still were surprised that Stephen Colbert's show was canceled. That's what happens under a fascist regime, isn't it?
Yeah, it's terrible.
202-588-0893, your questions, calls, and comments for Dr. Benjamin F. Chavis Jr. Glad to have him with us. About 30 years ago, you were president of the NAACP. About 30 years ago, 31, 32 years ago, the National African American Leadership Summit, the first time every, can't think of a single black organization or leader that was not in the room.
That's correct.
From the Pan-Hellenic Council to the professional organizations. And then right after the 1995 beginning.
And also, we also had street organizations represented. We had young people who had signed a truce between the East and the West in terms of gang violence. We had everybody to take. So it was intergenerational.
That was an incredible time. And folks, a lot of that was because someone of Dr. Chavis's ilk and stature and revolutionary resume was the president of the NAACP. I'll never forget when the great John Henry Clark called me after you were chosen. And he says, "Mark, we finally have a revolutionary president of the NAACP." I said, "All right, Dr. Clark, let's go." And as a result of that, you had NAILS, you had the big gang summit. You had also, as we acknowledge this year, the 30th anniversary of the Million Man March. As the principal coordinator, the executive director of the Million Man March, looking back over 30 years, what does that mean to you today, and how significant was that?
It was very significant. It was very pivotal. And I would say that if you look at what the progress that we've made over the last 30 years, the Million Man March was a turning point. There was a young state senator in the audience from Illinois who later became president of the United States at the Million Man March.
Mm.
We registered, Mark, at that march, over 250,000 people to register to vote at the march.
Mm.
There were 30,000 children, black children, who needed to be adopted by the National Association of Black Social Workers, Brother Lenny Dunson. We got all those children adopted right after the march. So I got the list. Well, black crime went down, black high school dropout went down across the board after the Million Man March. The challenge is, if we can show that we can do that one day, we need to be able to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the learning, I believe, from the Million Man March 30 years ago. We've proven we can do it for one day. Now our charge is we need to prove we can do it every day. Our sense of togetherness, our sense of solidarity, our sense of not only an American perspective, but a global perspective.
Yes,
we have sisters and brothers all over the world that we need to be in touch with, we need to be in dialogue with, we need to be planning with, we need to do trade with, we need to do development with. So I'm an optimist. Even in this period of time, Mark, I'm an optimist because I've seen over the last 60 years the progress that Black Americans have made, always against the odds, always against a steep hill that we had to ascend. But by God's grace, you know, one of the things I ended my remarks at the Urban League by quoting the scripture from John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And so I ask everybody at these conventions, what's our word? Mark, what's our word today on Make It Plain? What's our word? What's our message?
Mm.
You know, and we shouldn't be distracted by all the antics of the President of the United States. He does crazy stuff every day, to get us distracted away from the Epstein case.
And even before that, you know, he's what he gets is the importance of staying in the news cycle. So he makes it up every day so he can get the story. What was it yesterday? He wants the Commanders to change their name back
to the Redskins.
Racist name. And he wants the Cleveland Guardians to change their name back. I mean, what is that? That's insane. Caller, God bless you. Welcome to Make It Plain on WPFW 89.3 FM. You are on the air with Reverend Dr. Benjamin F. Chavis Jr. Caller, what's your name?
My name is Mary Allen, and thank you very much for your show.
Thank you.
Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
I just have one message. No justice, no peace. Yes. I'm done with the hope. I'm not saying we shall overcome. Anytime marching means to get out in the streets and shut things down. I think it's our turn to shut the government down and make demands. And we need to let the orange monkey know that no justice, no peace. We got to do it. We should have listened to the Panthers and build our own world. We've merged all these decades just to come full circle to be where we are now. Mm. And that's pathetic. The news media is disgusting. They represent the people that sponsor them, the oligarchies. They're still killing Palestinian people while we're worried about Epstein. We know that this president is probably on that list with a lot of politicians. We need term limits. We need everything to start over. But right now, we are going to have to fight because there is no niceness. The Supreme Court is against us, and we have to count on the federal judges to step in. He's threatening all of them. He thinks that he is king. And is this the same thing I feel about what white people think? They think that Jesus and God is white, and therefore they are superior. That is still the way it is. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister. And certainly, no justice, no peace. No justice, no freedom. No justice, no advancement. And I would say this, no justice, no democracy.
Mm.
And so what we have to do is to organize, mobilize. I agree we have to fight, but we need to fight with each other, not fight against each other.
Mm.
And some of the disunity in our community feeds the interest of the oppressor. You know, at some point, we should not internalize our oppression. We should not become cynical. We should not become, you know, throw our hands up. It is not a hopeless situation. We can turn this around,
Mom. Yeah.
And I agree that no justice, no peace.
You know, thank you for your call, Mary Allen. You talked about NABJ and the black press and all of that. It's kind of like what's happening at the college level. The Trump administration is attacking universities for DEI, which is another name for the Civil Rights Act or affirmative action for that matter. Supreme Court pretty much already struck that down. And now more and more of our young people are returning to HBCUs, which is not a bad thing. Many of those in NABJ are people of color, African-Americans, who work for white media corporations. As president of Black Press USA and National Newspaper Publishers Association, might this not be a moment to invite home even black journalists to come back to the black press, to build our own press, our own institutions? Well, we don't have to worry about who's in office and who's going to tell who to fire whom.
You're absolutely right, Mark. This is not only an opportunity, but a responsibility of the black press to expand, to grow, and to receive our brothers and sisters who are losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They're well-trained. Come on home. Work for the black press. Come on home. Help us build a movement that can transform our community. And I think that our messaging, I'm going to talk about how important, Mark, our messaging is. You know, I agree with the sister. We shouldn't get, diverted on Epstein or anything else. But I believe that given the demographic changes, you have to understand, why is all this happening? Because there's a fear of 2030. There's a fear of demographic changes. You know, and the current president plays to those fears. But you know what? You can attempt to erase, but you can't erase God.
Mm.
You can't erase the sacredness of our long travail, centuries old. Our ancestors are crying out from their graves. Our ancestors are crying out from the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean to remind us that we have to keep struggling. And I would say this, Mark, I don't believe in struggling to struggle. I want to struggle to win. And we have to determine how we win. We have to determine how we advance. We have to determine how we get attacked. We have to determine how we counterattack. But we have to make sure that we're moving forward and that each generation gets inspired to take the baton, to keep pushing forward.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dr. Benjamin Chavis Jr., folks, Benjamin F. Chavis Jr., blackpressusa.com. Follow him there. Follow the Black Press. Support the Black Press. Support your local Black newspaper where you are. As these other industries, these other corporations contract, that leaves over 200 bureaus around the country still operating under the Black Press and still operating in your locale and in your community. So please, ma'am, please, sir, support the Black Press. We also want to acknowledge Dr. Chavis's incredible work throughout the diaspora and the work he's done in Africa and the Caribbean and the role he played in the anti-apartheid struggle. He has been a consummate Pan-Africanist warrior. I know some folks like to knock Pan-Africanism these days. I just got off a call where that was discussed.
Yes.
But we are an African people. And we cannot deny it. I don't care what anybody, people say, I'm an American. Well, okay. What is that? But we are much more than that. Dr. Chavis, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. And let's keep up the good work. Let's keep pushing forward. Aluta continua.
Indeed, aluta continua. Thanks again, Dr. Chavis.
Victoria is certain.
That's right. That's right. Folks, make it plain on WPFW 89.3 FM Pacifica Radio.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.